Welcome to the Community Fellowship Podcast, your way to stay connected with biblically themed messages, discussions, and interviews from Community Fellowship in East Barnard, Texas. Learn more about our church at the cfeb.church website, check us out on social media at CF East Barnard, or attend an in-person service at 635 Main Street in East Barnard. We are a local church that works to make the love of Christ for all humanity known to our community and the world. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy this week's content.
After retiring from the Navy in South Carolina, I stayed right there and went to college. I earned a degree in elementary education, and then the Navy base closed. So on a Navy base, you have young people. Young people go to elementary schools. I was jobless before I even got started. But the Lord brought me to Texas, the great state of Texas. Been here for about 25 years and am loving it. You know it. You know it. So I got a job at East Barnard Elementary teaching fourth grade. That's right. I taught with Sharon Lowry right there. She hired me, as a matter of fact. So if you don't like what you hear today, you can catch her on the way out. So being new to the area, like the first few days of school, my kids asked me, they said, so Mr. G, you like green tractors or red ones? I was kind of flabbergasted. I'm like, what is this, a trick question? I said, I don't really have a preference. Their faces fell immediately. And then I realized, boy, I think I've just done something wrong. But then one of the kids perked up and said, are you an Aggie or a Longhorn? And I thought, oh my. So, well, I went to school in South Carolina at the College of Charleston. And I thought, I got to redeem myself somehow. I said, well, our colors are maroon and white. They immediately snagged me for the Aggie team, and I've been blessed ever since. Well, as you might imagine, and that stirred a lively discussion in the classroom. Good morning, my name is Pastor Philip, and I'll be sharing today, continuing our series on To the Ends of the Earth. Earlier this month, Pastor James shared on Acts 1:8, which is there will be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the ends of the earth. And that's where we get the theme for our message this month. And then last week he taught on Acts 2:42, which was the practices of a missional church. And those practices are devoting ourselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. Today we're looking at Acts 10, and we're going to answer this question, are we judging someone else's freedom? And Pastor spoke a little bit about that during the prayer time. So my classroom experience was all in good fun, but are we judging somebody else's freedom in culture, through prejudice, or their religion? And we're going to take a look at that today. Please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 10, verse 42 through 47. And if you don't have a Bible, there's one under the seat in front of you, or you can follow along on our screen.
He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have.
Thank you, Jake. So our text picks up for today at the end of chapter 10 in the home of a man by the name of Cornelius. He was a Roman centurion. So what that means is, at this time, Judea and Israel was under Roman rule, as much of the world was at that time. And Cornelius was a, a leader of men. He was a soldier. He was, I wouldn't say unfortunately, fortunately or unfortunately, I don't know, but he was a non-Jewish man, which made him a Gentile. Basically, the world is made up of Jewish people and Gentiles. So you have the Jewish people, and then all the rest are Gentiles. So if you're Jewish, you're Jewish. If you're not, you're a Gentile. Comprendo? Okay. That's my language lesson for the day. I'll keep to the script. So the Gentiles at the time were despised by some in the Jewish nation. And you can understand that. They were the invading of the conquering force. It's like if somebody came and invaded the United States, we probably wouldn't be inviting them over to dinner and things like that, right? So that was understandable. So the Roman soldiers were especially reviled. However, Cornelius was not your average Roman soldier. Take a look at Acts chapter 10 and verse 2. It states that Cornelius and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. So even though he wasn't Jewish, he feared and honored God. Do you see that? Which was pretty remarkable for a Roman soldier, because they didn't have to give any honor whatsoever to the nation that they conquered. Think about that. So Cornelius, I believe, as a result of him fearing God and him honoring God, he actually even did many other things that were good for the Jewish nation. But as a result of this, I believe that God favored him and gave him a vision. One day, Cornelius was minding his own business, and an angel appeared before him. And he said, basically, your alms or your giving, not your arms, but your arms, A-L-M-S, your alms, your giving, came up before memorial before the Lord. So he said, Holy Spirit said, send to Joppa, which is a town. We'll look at a map slide in just a moment. He said, send to Joppa and get a hold of a guy by the name of Peter. He'll be there in the house of Simon the Tanner. And because of that, he said, send for him and bring him here. And that's basically all he said. However, Cornelius obeyed immediately, which is pretty much what God and the Holy Spirit likes when he gives us some sort of thing to do. It's kind of like parents with their kids, right? They like it when you obey immediately. I throw that in free, no extra charge. So here's a map slide. And you can see Jerusalem. Sorry, I get wild. Jerusalem is right here in the province of Judea. And here's Joppa. It's impolite to point. Here's Joppa, and directly above that is Caesarea. So it looks like a million miles away, but it was about 30 miles. Now, I don't know if they took a boat, I don't know if they rode a donkey or they walked, but 30 miles back in Jesus' time or back in the day was not the same as 30 miles today. You can jump in your little car and zip to Sugar Lands, roughly 30 miles away. You can be there in 30 minutes or faster if you're driving with, if you're driving with somebody else. Sometimes I drive fast, but I'm slowing down, right, Betty? I'm actually getting better at it. So these guys traveled to Joppa, and while they were traveling to Joppa, a couple of his servants, and he even sent one of his trusted soldiers to go. So as they're traveling to Joppa, get a load of this. Peter is up on his roof to pray. Now, you might think that that's kind of funny. Can you picture Godet on his roof praying? Somebody might call 911. This is a crazy, oh wait, it's Philip. So he's up on his roof to pray. So the architecture back then is the lower floor was basically where they had animals. It was an open area, you could keep animals down there. The living quarters was on the second floor, and that's where they'd cook, that's where they'd live, they'd have fellowship. But up on the roof was an open place that you could go up there in the cool of the day to enjoy maybe some sunshine or something like that. Peter's up there. They're getting a seaside breeze right off the ocean. So that would have been enjoyable for him to do. So while he was up there praying, it was probably about lunchtime or so, and he began to get hungry. That's a key. Remember that. We're going to come back to that in just a second. He began to get hungry. And as he prayed, suddenly he saw a vision. He fell into a trance. I don't know what that trance was, but he fell into it. And he saw heavens open. This is remarkable. He saw heavens open and a giant sheet lowered down from heavens. It was held by the four corners. And inside this sheet, can you picture this? If you want to, close your eyes and picture it as I'm describing it. That's okay. Picture this giant sheet lowering down. And inside the sheet were all kinds of animals. Four-footed animals. Clean animals and unclean animals. See, the Jewish people at the time, they had laws that they had to follow. There were certain things that they could eat and certain things that they couldn't eat. Like it was okay to eat a cow or a sheep, but other animals not so much. Not only that, there were reptiles in there, and I'm pretty sure they weren't supposed to eat frog legs. Sorry, my Louisiana fans. So the sheet lowers down, and in the middle of Peter pondering, can you imagine that? He's thinking, what in the world am I seeing? In the middle of him thinking about that whole sheet, he hears a voice from heaven. Holy Spirit booms out to him saying, get up, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter's like, not so, Lord. I have never eaten anything unclean in my entire life. Because Peter was a good, God-fearing, law-abiding man, right? He said, I have never eaten anything unclean in my life. It's important to understand that Peter's culture prevented them from eating certain animals. So it's not like he had a hang-up, oh, I don't like bologna or something like that. That wasn't the nature of it. He actually was not allowed to eat these type of foods. But in the midst of that, God gives him a little tune-up here. He says, look at Acts 10:15. God says, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. So even though he followed this tradition his entire life, I don't know how old he was, but he was a young man. He followed this tradition all of his life. God gave him the okay. God gave him the green light. And this happened three times. Three times he saw this and he heard this. So sometimes with the number three in the Bible, it means complete. Numbers mean things in the Bible. If I shake my head and we get off track, you'll let me know, won't you, Timothy? Thank you. I got like my Mario Andretti pit crew keeping me safe today. I appreciate that. Lost my train of thought. So, just enjoy the ride, folks. Just enjoy the ride. Keep it up, brother. Thank you. So he sees this three times and he hears this three times. God saying, do not call anything unclean that I've called clean. So the number three sometimes means complete. So I'm pretty sure that God was completely sure that whatever he purified, Peter wasn't supposed to say, I ain't touching it. Does that make sense? That's very important to the rest of our story. So please remember that. So while Peter was still thinking about this vision, the Holy Spirit tells him, hey, three guys are looking for you downstairs. Go up, get up there, go downstairs, and doubt nothing. Take a look at Acts chapter 10, verse 20. It says, do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. And who were the three guys outside? Three Gentiles. And in the Jewish culture, you didn't eat with a Gentile. You didn't invite a Gentile under your roof. Hey, I didn't make the rules. This is just the way it was back then. But God is fixing to change that. Remember what we just read a minute ago? That which I have called clean, don't you call impure. That which I have called clean, don't you call impure. You know, folks, we are all created in the image of God. Put that in the back of your mind. We're going to come back to that later. So in other words, don't judge another person's freedom by their culture. Don't judge another person's freedom by their culture. Through the illustration of the vision of the clean and unclean animals, God freed Peter from his cultural hang-ups. God freed Peter from that cultural requirement that he had to have when he was growing up. As a matter of fact, through the centuries, really. So a word of caution, you're going to like this. You've heard this before. Don't get stuck doing something just because that's the way we always did it. Does that sound familiar? Maybe your parents told you that, maybe your teachers, maybe your friends or your family. But that's a valid word. Don't get stuck by doing something just because that's the way we always do it. So you may wonder, and rightfully so, why in the world did God suddenly change the rules? Why did God, for centuries, they weren't allowed to eat unclean animals? And I'm not going to get into all that, but you can research it. Look it up in the Bible. It's a great place to learn. What's that guy, Max McLean? It's good for the soul. I wish I had his voice. You may wonder why God said it was okay to eat any of the animals. So think about Jesus. Jesus, they had hundreds and hundreds of laws in the Old Testament. And Jesus came to fulfill all of them. And he did that. He fulfilled all of the Old Testament with his life, his death, and his resurrection. Now Jesus leaves us with two main laws. Love God, love your neighbor. Aren't we glad that we can live in a time of grace and mercy, that that's what we have to do? Love God and love your neighbor. And I can keep track of that. I don't know what the exact number is, but I've heard as many as 600 laws in the Old Testament. How would you like to live during those times? I am thankful that I live May 17th, 2026, in the mercy and the goodness of God. Amen? So the New Testament basically commands us, love God, love our neighbor. We're thankful to live in these times. So Cornelius' men arrived at Simon's house. Holy Spirit tells Peter, get down there with him. So Peter goes downstairs and he's talking to these guys. And he basically, this is astounding. He actually invites them to stay. It wasn't even his house. It was the house of Simon the Tanner. But he felt so convicted by Holy Spirit that he made a command decision right there on the spot. He invited these three Gentiles to stay with them. Not only was it against the law, it was like beyond, I can't even think of a modern day example that might even compare with that. But if you go back, because one of them was a soldier. If you go back to the illustration of the invading army, that would be like, when I grew up, it was the Russians. If somebody's Russian, I'm sorry, I'm not picking on you this morning, but I'm a little older than the average bear. So when I grew up, it was us against the Russians at the time. That would be like inviting, you know, the Russian army to stay in your house. It's just something that wouldn't have happened probably when I was a kid. So another way that we judge us is by prejudice, which was common with some Jews at the time. The Gospel of John talks about Jesus passing through Samaria. And Samaria and Judea did not get along. Samaria was part of the northern Israelite region. And there was great prejudice among some people at the time, both from the Samaritans to the Jews and from the Jews to the Samaritans. But here's Jesus passing through Samaria, and he stops at a place called Jacob's Well near the town of Sychar. Don't quote me on pronunciation, but that's the way it's spelled. So he stops at the well, and his disciples go into town to buy some groceries. So while Jesus is there resting his feet and just taking a breather, a lady from the town comes in. It's about noontime, the heat of the day, and she comes out to the well. So Jesus sees this lady, and he says, hey, how about a drink of water? And she is like blown away. She even tells Jesus, she says, you're asking me for a drink, and yet the Jewish men don't even speak to Samaritan women. And that opened the door for Jesus to share many kingdom truths with this lady. At one point, she even thought, this dude's a prophet, because he was telling her about her life, things that were absolutely impossible for Jesus to know about her lifestyle. So she is so convicted by that. And as he goes on to speak with her, he says to her, true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kinds of worshipers the Father seeks. That Jesus revealed to this woman that he was the Messiah. And that was pretty remarkable at the time, because Jesus, you may or may not be aware, but sometimes when miracles were performed, he'd tell the person, don't you go tell anybody about that. He said, you go to your priest or you go back home. But I believe that, we just talked about that the other day. I believe that part of the reason was, is because it wasn't his time yet. That's at least part of the reason, I believe. So she thinks that he's the Messiah. She goes back to her town. And this is a woman with a bit of a reputation, without getting into that. So she might have had some prejudice from the people in her own town. But the word that she shared was so real, it was so alive, that they came out to meet Jesus. It says that some of the people believed. Some of the Samaritan men and women that came out to meet Jesus believed. And get a load of this. They said, hey, why don't you stay with us? And Jesus actually stayed with them for 2 days. All the rules are being broken. Isn't this wonderful? Isn't this great? This is huge, absolutely huge. Jesus did not judge her as a Samaritan woman, which was so common at the time. One of the problems that some of the prejudice arose, Jews against the Samaritans, was the Samaritans followed the first five books of the Bible. That's called the Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Exodus. I skipped one, sorry. And they didn't honor the prophets. So this generated prejudice and other issues. But look at Galatians 3:28. Galatians 3:28. This is huge. This is in the New Testament. This is Paul writing. He says, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all, what does that say? One in Christ Jesus. Remember that we are all created in God's image, so Jesus is calling us to it right here. Right? The reason I say Jesus is calling it to us, because Paul didn't just dream up these words. The Bible came to us because holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So Paul is writing these words at the direction of God and the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Okay. So let me tell you a little story about myself. When I was a kid, my mother raised us, and her parents were like Edith and Archie Bunker, very prejudiced. My mother determined that she was not going to raise us to be like that. So we weren't allowed to use prejudicial words in our home growing up. You get your mouth washed out with soap pretty quickly. You might get in trouble for that nowadays, but that was years ago. You're allowed to do those sort of things. Maybe we need to make a comeback. I don't know. But when I first joined the Navy, I began to, for the first several months anyway, I began to experience this prejudice that I never experienced before in my life. As I said, my mother raised us not to be like that. I would walk down the street and I'd see somebody of a different ethnicity or maybe just the way they looked, and I'd pass judgment on that person. Never met them, don't know a thing about them. I just decided in my mind, oh, well, they're X and Y or such a person. And it really began to grieve me, and it grieved the Holy Spirit, because that's not God's way. We just read that we are all one in Christ Jesus. Well, thankfully, the Holy Spirit convicted me on that, and I was delivered from that. And I began to treat people with honor and respect the way that I used to, the way that I was raised to do. Do not judge another person's freedom by their prejudice, by your prejudice, by our prejudice. Do not judge another person's freedom by a prejudice. You see, Peter learned from his vision that God is not prejudiced, right? That which I have called clean, we're all created in the image of God. Don't you call unclean. Take a look at Acts 10, verse 34 and 35. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. What a marvelous scripture that is, the one who fears him and does what is right. So the vision of clean and unclean animals showed Peter that the truth of God's word said he has a heart for all nations and all people groups. We're all created in the image of God. Do you see that? Genesis states that we're created in the image of God, and that's the way that we should live. A third way that we judge others is by religion. Peter simply stated the gospel when he got to Cornelius' house. He simply stated the gospel. He told Cornelius about the virgin birth, right? Talked about Jesus living a sinless life, about Jesus being our sacrifice on the cross, that he died, was raised again on the third day. He was resurrected. And in the midst of this, the Holy Spirit fell on Cornelius and his household. See, Cornelius wasn't just by himself. When he knew that the man of God was coming to speak to him and his household, he gathered up all his friends. He had a little prayer meeting. Isn't it just like what we're seeing today? Look at all of you here that came to church today. You came to hear the Word of God. We should be excited about the Word of God. It's real and living and sharper than any two-edged sword. That's what the Word declares. I see some heads shaking out there in a positive way. Not this way, this way. Thank you for my humor. So through His name is the only way for salvation. Through the name of Jesus is the only way for salvation and eternal life. There is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. So meanwhile at Cornelius' house, Peter said that God has shown him not to call anyone impure or unclean. Take a look at Acts 10:39. He shared with those present, "We are witnesses of everything Jesus did in the country of Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead and on the third day and caused him to be seen." Caused him to be seen. So God commanded us to preach and tell people about Jesus, that He is the one who God appointed. He appointed Jesus. Ready for this? Jesus is the judge of the living and the dead. Not Philip, not you. We don't get to judge people by their culture, by their religion, or by their prejudice, or by their religion. And suddenly, while Peter was sharing the truth, the Holy Spirit fell on Cornelius and his household. They didn't have to have an altar call. It just happened. It amazed Peter. And Peter actually had some Jewish friends come with him to Joppa, and they witnessed it. And these guys were absolutely blown away when they saw this. Because up until this point, the Word of God only came to the Jews. The New Testament Word of God. The one that I just described about Jesus being our Savior, right? He died a sinless life. Said, for when they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God, just like the Jews did on the day of Pentecost. And that was proof to them back then that they had received the Spirit of God. Take a look at Acts 10:47. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So Peter did not judge Cornelius' freedom in Christ through his religion. He simply stated the gospel message. Holy Spirit was the one that convicted Cornelius and his household, leading them to salvation in Christ as evidenced by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And that's important, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So our third point is don't judge another person's freedom by religion. Because Peter did not judge Cornelius' freedom, the gospel of Jesus was released into Cornelius and his household. It was released into the Roman army because Cornelius was a Roman soldier. He was a leader of many men. So that was a big deal. God picked a good guy to be number one to lead to the Lord in the Gentile nation. And He led the Gentiles. He opened the door for us today. Here we are sitting today. We get to hear the word of the Lord because Peter obeyed Holy Spirit. Isn't that remarkable? What room full of people is waiting to hear for you to speak without prejudice, without judging culture, prejudice, or religion? How many people are perhaps in the wings just waiting to know Jesus because of what you or I might say? Isn't that magnificent? That God would bless us with such an important role in history. So a new religion was proclaimed. God does not judge us by our culture, religion, or prejudice. So whether you see green tractors or red ones, He sees us through the blood of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that magnificent? He sees us through the blood of Jesus. He doesn't see me through the... I had a little trouble this morning. Come on. had to actually get out of my head and get ready to come here and share with you guys this morning, because it's not about me. It's all about Jesus, right? It's all about the things that he wanted to do. And thank goodness I have a troop of good people, the pit crew that I have, that spoke words of life over me and into me this morning. And I appreciate that. I really do. So today, let me tell you something. Let us be people of integrity that blesses others with the freedom found in Christ. Today is a great day to be like Cornelius and his household, who immediately upon hearing the gospel, they believed and they came to know Christ. Salvation 2,000 years later is still available today. Still available today. It's not hard. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. The word of God says, thou shalt be saved. Absolutely. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You're going to be saved. And that's not because Philip is telling you that. It's a promise of the living God who is seated in the heavens, waiting to come back, waiting to send his glorious son Jesus back for each and every one of us. How awesome is that? How cool is that? So don't wait. Today is your day of salvation. If you have any questions about that and you want to talk to a pastor about that, Pastor James you met, Pastor Ronald, or myself, we'll be available after church if you have questions. But you don't have to have me lead you to anything. You can have the Holy Spirit usher you right into the presence, right into the throne room of God this morning. How magnificent would that be to get a sneak peek of Jesus before he comes back for us? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for your glorious presence with us here as we enjoy the fellowship of following the apostles' doctrine. We don't need to judge another's freedom, and we are free to enjoy our own as you so graciously provided, as you lived a perfect and sinless life. Thank you for sacrificing yourself on the cross so that we could live in eternal life with God. Thank you for your exalted word for us to live in by fellowship with you as sons and daughters in your kingdom. Thank you for rebuking the enemy and driving out any fear or doubt that would prevent us from accepting your invitation today to join in the salvation celebration, I like the sound of that, of your precious name. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for convicting us and keeping us close to your heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
If you have questions about this week's message or would like to start a conversation with someone about what it means to walk with Christ, please email pastor@cfeb.church. You can find earlier episodes of our podcast on our website at cfeb.church, where you can also give online to help support community fellowship in our mission to reflect and share Christ's love. We can also be found on many major distribution platforms like Apple Podcasts, where you can subscribe to stay connected. Thank you again for listening. Now go out and love one another like Jesus did.